You know this. You're down in Florida,
sometimes,
for God's sake.
Right. And sometimes this is, things do happen like that when you don't want to do something, you do it. And you're right. Down the line, they might get it for cheaper or get that second house for cheaper. But I always say there is an answer to every problem. I don't care what the problem is. There's an answer. You just might not like that answer. But you have to make that decision and make it fit into your life. And once you make the decision, things usually work out. It's just that fear that you build around you, that you have to take it down to the wire before you pull that Band-Aid off and say, okay, I've made up my mind, this is the decision. But there's always an answer to every problem. It's just deciding on what you want it to be. And if you are that parent struggling with, you're living in an area where you don't have the freedom with the kids and you want to homeschool, but you're working, you will, if you want, like you said, your number one job on this earth is to take care of your kids. There is no second. There is no above that. That's your primary. Everything else comes after that.
Well, you and I agree with that 100%. It makes a lot of sense. Sadly, I don't think many people feel that way.
I think because a lot of them are more programmed because of the fear factor. They automatically go, well, how am I going to take care of my kids if I don't have a job? How am I going to take care of my kids if this? That's where their mind goes instead of breathing and saying, what can I rearrange so that I could do this? And believe me, the more you embrace it, you start to figure out all the things that you thought would be a roadblock, suddenly don't become roadblocks. You're like, okay, listen, I'm going to go work here now, and I'm going to work a 3 to 11 shift, but you know, I'm going to ask my mom or my sister, will you watch the kids for this many hours? I'm going to give them, you know, these books, they have to read them. And when you get on the week, you figure it out. You work around the kids because you have to lose that mindset of school, education and school, two different things. You work it into your life 365 days a year. And it works out. You're the parent. You lay it out. Okay, you're going to be at grandma's today. And these are the few little things I need you to do. Tonight after dinner, we'll go through this. And you really do have a lot less stress when you're not dealing with the government system because you're captain of your ship. You're not, you know, asking permission of teachers or signing permission slips, or you're not doing any of the stuff. It's your household. You're running it your way. You're educating your way. You're finding ways around it, and you're finding ways to bring in a new income. And it's, you know, even if you're single, it could be done if you're a single parent. If you have a little bit of a support system, whether it be friends, family, whatever, you can figure it out. In my case, at one time, I had a neighbor. You know, I had a neighbor that said, I could really use you a couple hours a week. It was a surgeon. And I said, all right, I'll do it. I said, but I'm homeschooling the kids. But the neighbor came in for the few hours. And made sure they were doing, you know, what they were supposed to do, because we were like not neighbors. We're like family. You know how it is. You live in a cul-de-sac. Everybody's a family. And it's like, okay, I'll help you out. I'll come into your office. And, you know, we just one hand washes the other. And it works out. But you just got to let go of that fear.
Well, some people are listening to exactly what you say. I'm reading about, I read about earlier today. Australian cops are quitting and they refuse to enforce COVID tyranny against citizens. And we've seen the viral videos with the cops down under just choking out women and beating women.
Oh, yeah.
And I've said, you know, and you've said, and we agree, you better pick a side. VM was famous for this like almost 2 years ago. I spoke with him today. We're going to have him back on the show. Almost 2 years ago, saying you better pick a side because there's a good side and there's a bad side as a cop. And if you pick the bad side, then, well, You can't be guaranteed that things are going to go your way when the mob turns against you. And eventually the mob always turns against you. Your luck runs out. There's no doubt about it. It's just a matter of time when that happens. And if you want to play Russian roulette with your career, you're free to do that. But I like to go into situations where I have a pretty good chance of making it out. You know, you don't make it back home.
No, VM was right. You know, the other thing I like that you said is about when we're talking about people that are being proactive, where you said families pooling their resources together and buying land.
Yeah, you have to look at that. That has to be looked at. That has to be looked at. Mm-hmm. If they're going to go fucking Thunderdome and this guy, okay, well, you know, I can go Thunderdome too. We got some people here. We'll get some money together. We'll get some land. I'm not talking about buying 25,000 acres. But, you know, you see how the feds, they don't like the David Koresh types. Well, you sure as shit are creating a lot. I'm not saying you're going to be a religious extremist, but if you're just trying to live your life based on the principles of the Constitution and be left alone, which is a major, major tenet, you know?
Yeah. I mean, of course, David Koresh wanted to be left alone, and many of those people, Ruby Ridge, they all wanted to be left alone. But in this situation, when you are literally forcing people from their normal way of life and you're forcing them to choose this way of life, and even in the end, it might be better for them. Unplugging from the grid, you know, getting back to natural life, and, you know, it'll probably be better for them. But the fact that you're forcing people with this scheme-demic depopulation with the vaccine, and you're forcing people to go do this, heaven help the people that would show up on that land. Heaven help them.
Well, it's interesting when you think about Randy Weaver and things. Of course, the government painted him as a maniac, but he's starting to look a little bit like a prophet.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, perhaps even Weaver wouldn't be able to even predict the insanity that has unfolded in the last 18 months, but he sure had the basics down. Trying to warn people, these guys are coming for you next. You don't believe me, but they're coming. And here they are.
Right. So if you had people that just basically wanted to live, you know, freedom, because that's what you're sold, that illusion that you're born free. No, we're not. And we know that. As soon as you're born, you're assigned a number, a social security number. You're in a system, okay? And then you get to a certain age. Oh, compulsory school. I have to go to school. Some states, I mean, for the longest time, homeschooling was not legal, right? The government tells you what to do with your child. Oh, I have to have these vaccines. You can't go here, you know, without the measles, mumps, rubella, this, that, DTaP, you know. That's not freedom. You are not I would be, if I was like 30 years old having a child right now, I would be bold enough to say, yeah, I want a midwife, and nobody's going to know about this child.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So you're talking not about happening. Basically becoming Amish in a way.
Correct.
You live the Quaker lifestyle. Right. They're right around the corner. Right. They got it all figured out, by the way.
Right.
There's no COVID ravaging the Amish community.
Nope.
You know, there's a joke going around, and I've said it before. The Amish guy, you know. Well, they're good.
Amish don't have social security numbers?
I don't think so.
I'm curious.
I don't think so. Now, they pay sales tax, or as the one guy I know says, supposedly we pay sales tax.
No, that would be curious. I would like to know that.
But, you know, the joke is, why haven't the Amish had problems with COVID-19? And the answer is, we don't have televisions.
That's right.
So... But what you're saying is getting back to basics.
Getting back to basics, absolutely. But we know in this country all the things we cannot do. So if people got back to basics and were forced into it, where in the end they might say, hey, this isn't so bad. You know, we have a bunch of friends living on all this land, and at night we, you know, barbecue and we hang out and we're unplugged from the grid and social media. And it's quite nice. You know, we're making some money. We're surviving. I would say, heaven forbid, any federal authorities that would show up on that plot of land.
Well,
because people are going to be extremely bitter. It's like, yeah. I'm here because of you people. I had to leave my little McMansion and leave my job where, you know, I had all this college debt that I paid off. And you came and wrecked my life. And now here I am, a farmer on this land. And now you want to come here and bother me? It wasn't bad enough. You chased me out of the life that I built, because that's what I was told from a child. You go to school, you go to college, you pick a career, you buy a nice car, you buy a nice house. Oh, and then somewhere along the way, the government comes along and says, well, unless you get this injection, you can't have that job. You can't have that car. You can't have that house. Oh, and by the way, we're coming for your kids, too. How much are you going to push people?
But if you want to stand up for yourself, you're a domestic terrorist.
There you go. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. That they want to continue that game.
Well, be careful how you label people. You might just have to deal with the fact that they've become what you label them with, exactly. And then you really have a fucking problem.
Exactly.
It's just like, hey, that's no joke.
Call them domestic terrorists. I call them damn heroes.
So, you know what's amazing today, though? You had this guy stand up there, this dope, this wooden dummy, this wax dummy, and he literally says, and their actions from the last day or so in the White House, that they're telling governors to prepare kids for vaccines. Like they're little pieces of property that just came and you just took them out of a box from UPS. Mm-hmm. They're just property. And they bought all the doses. They've got millions of doses. Biden said they got 28 million doses ready to go to be jabbed into children between ages 5 and 11. And then after that, they got another 40 million that they've already purchased, and they'll be ready to go for more kids. And then what happens after that? Whoa, these are going so great that we need to jab them into kids' birth to four. It's never going to fucking end. It's never going to end.
No, and you have to wonder why. What's in these things? Well, why is it so vital? Because we know it's not about keeping COVID away. You know, you have to wonder what is so important about jabbing everybody. And they're desperate for it.
They're obsessed. If you mm-hmm. say, nah, I'm not going to do it. Like, what? What? Okay, we got one here. We got one here. You know, we got to work on them. Or, you know, where this is going is not good. And, of course, the people that are involved in it are the worst human beings I've ever seen. So that's right. It's kind of a giveaway, right? You don't have to be a genius to figure out, hey, wait a minute, these people have no problem for decades killing people, wiping people out, stealing from people, ripping people off, lying to people. Let's listen to them. Let's put some stock and let's put some faith in them for one of the biggest decisions of our lives and the lives of our loved ones. Yeah, what could go wrong? This is this common sense thing that just escapes me. I can't figure it out. People will trust these people. They're serial liars. They are sanctioned killers. Fauci is a licensed killer. I mean, this guy makes mm-hmm. John Wayne Gacy look like a party clown. Okay? And you have these guys who have made careers out of lying and slitting people's throats politically, and I think in many cases, literally. And we're listening to them. We're listening to them. I say we as a collective. I'm not talking about you and I and other folks that are.
No. And your audience and other, you know, there's only a handful of shows like this where the audience is really plugged in and they know what's happening.
And it makes a good thing we went with Pain.TV. I'm looking like a goddamn genius as far as I'm concerned, because as they ramp things up, the clamps on free speech are getting tighter. It's like, tighter, right. Tighter and tighter and tighter. And you can't even speak, honestly. At least we can do that on the platform.
I said that to someone last night that I was talking to from the platform. And I was talking about, you know, when I was doing the radio and booking a lot of the influencers on the radio. And so I know a lot of people. And, you know, they would always try to get me to do certain messaging. and I wouldn't do their messaging, you know, and then they try every now and again and they pop back up. And I told this person, I said, but ever since I started, you know, doing work with Mike, nobody bothers me. It's like they all deleted me from their phones. I don't get texts. I don't get nothing.
Well,
which is good. Which
could
is
be good or bad.
No, it's good. Right. It's good. I feel for me, it's great insulation. Everybody stays out of my lane now. They don't try to get me, you know, to say things. Oh, guess what? Blah, blah, blah. You might want to mention this. And I went through the rundown of every single thing I never mentioned on the radio. Anything they wanted, because that's the whole game, is messaging. These influencers, they pop up out of nowhere. It's a messaging network. And never did I, you know, I would listen. And this is how you find out what's going on. But I would say, yeah, whatever. Never go on the radio and talk about it. But ever since I started doing the podcast with you, again, that's what I feel, that freedom. I feel, you know, we're not censored. We could say the word vaccine, COVID, schemedemic. We could say all these things.
Well, in keeping with that, I am reminded by some troublemakers in California. We have many of those listening. A call to action, California. You won't hear this on regular radio, like you say. A sit out on October 18th. I guess that's Monday, right? Teachers and students K through 12 are being asked to stay home, public and private schools, and communicate mm-hmm. the absences in response to the vaccine mandates.
There you go.
That's momsontheground-ca.com and momsontheground.ca. Mm-hmm. So I guess that's this is one of one of our subscribers contributes a lot to me. And matter of fact, I told her to send me a reminder because I'd be on the air at this time, so I don't forget. And that's a ping you heard a moment ago, and I said, who the hell's pinging me on this phone? Oh, that was her. So that's call to action, California sit out on 10/18. Teachers and students are asked to have a little blue flu and stay home that day. Sounds like a good idea.
Right. And that's the thing about your audience. I'm amazed at how proactive they are. They are taking these little conversations and putting things into action. On a larger scale. Now, the person I was talking to last night, he's a male and he's involved in some grassroots stuff, but he said the majority of the people fighting back are the moms.
Don't not mess many, with the women, not man.
Many,
don't
dads.
I've said that for the last 18 months. The women are not to be trifled with. These guys, I mean, I don't know what these dudes are drinking, a White Claw or what they're doing, but they better get on a stick.
No, he said they're talking about golf and football. That's exactly what he said.
Football, for fuck's sake.
He said the dads are just like la da 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 da, and the moms are ready to go to war. I said, because they're moms.
Yeah.
They're worried about the kids. And they're worried about themselves because as a mom, you're the CEO of the household. Mom gets
sick. And of your kids, for God's sakes. I mean,
yes,
don't
I
ask
mean.
A
mom
man to carry
sick.
A kid to term.
Yeah, but if mom gets sick, God forbid, mom dies. That's the biggest burden, you know.
No, I said it. I said it straight out.
You run everything.
I said straight out to my sons when my wife was sick with COVID and she wasn't doing well. I said, Dad, relax. It's going to be all right. I said, and if it's not all right, we're fucked. You understand? Right? Because I'm gonna go
you
up.
You sound like my son.
You don't even want to know what's going to happen if something happens to her. You guys, forget about it. So you better hope nothing happens to that woman, or you guys,
what do we do?
No idea what the hell we'll
where,
be
where
doing.
Do we find that?
We'll be in an RV somewhere, probably on the
Mom
run.
Mom always knows where you left something, you know, I lost something, Mom finds it, you know. I was having a conversation with my son about that. We're just talking, but joking. He goes, oh, this conversation turned morbid fast.
that can happen.
Yeah, yeah.
There's all kinds of drawers in my house. There's 500 drawers, and I've only been in five of them. And I asked for something, and she says, you've been here 25 years, I don't have time to go into these drawers. These are your drawers. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's in these drawers, and I don't care. I know what's in these drawers, and those are the things I need. But seriously, the women, they might just save our ass on this one.
Oh my gosh, I'll tell you a funny story. It was a couple of years ago. I don't know. Well, I went for the routine checkup with the primary care. And my heart rate was really high at rest. And my heart rate does run very high at rest. But anyway, he kind of freaked out the doctor, and he real quick prescribed me a heart pill. But that was only until I got to the heart doctor. He made the appointment. When I tell you, my husband and my daughter, they were like petrified. Like my husband was bringing me this pill, like staring at me, like you have to take, like petrified. And then I went to the heart doctor, and he's like, yeah, no, you don't have to take it. Oh my gosh. But for like the few days in between where I had to take this stupid pill, they were setting their clocks to when I had to take this pill. And I was just like, really? Really? What would you guys do if I dropped dead?
Yeah.
It was pure comedy.
It wouldn't be good.
I was laughing. I thought it was pure comedy. So when it came out from the doctor, I'm like, yeah, no, I don't have to take that. Big sigh of relief. Not, it doesn't mean that they don't all aggravate me on a daily basis.
Well, that goes, it's part and parcel.
That doesn't stop. Yeah, that doesn't stop. But I could see where the moms are the warriors, because you have to be that firewall. You have to be that firewall for the kids. And that's it. And then as a mom, like, you do worry. Okay, what if, you know, I get sick and it doesn't turn out well? I mean, I feel blessed because I've kind of figured things out with the supplements and how to take care of myself. And if I do get sick, what to do. But there's other moms out there that have not or not come across it.
Yeah.
And they get COVID and their doctor doesn't treat them properly, and God forbid they die. You know, and that could be with any flu. You let it get out of hand or something, and you get the pneumonia, and then you have a problem. So, yeah, they're the warriors. And I had, a great conversation with this gentleman last night. 3.5 hours we talked, and it was amazing. It was amazing. And I told him, have a plan B, have a plan C, be prepared.
Well, we talked about that sit-in in California. Mm-hmm. That's going down on October 18th. That
on Monday.
That jogged my memory of something else that's going down on October 18th.
What?
You can't even.
What?
Just let me read this, and then you can. Feds deploy non-toxic gas on the subway.
Yes.
And test the biological attack preparedness. If you smell something strange during your next subway ride, don't panic. It's not a terror attack. It's just the feds and the Department of Homeland Security testing out a new strategy for averting chemical and biological attacks on the country's largest public transportation system. So in New York, Homeland Security and the dopes who run the city are going to deploy non-toxic gas, 120 hectic subway places.
and they're just telling you about it
for a week.
Time.
It's going to go on for a week. Yeah. But don't worry. Most of the tests are going to be above ground, including some parks and other places. But there'll be tests underground with non-toxic gas.
But don't worry. The
public is advised, should one happen to stumble upon a test site, the gas is non-toxic and poses no public health risk. Well, where have we heard that before?
Oh, well, the vaccine, that doesn't pose any public health risk. Yeah, of course, I'd be staying home on Monday. Maybe I would take the whole week off.
And here's the amazing thing. The city isn't really announcing this. This is coming from the underground, no pun intended, from the news underground. The city has actually offered very slim details on what the hell is going on. I mean, there's an aerosol release. What?
It's crazy. And they've done it before. They've done it in the subways before. All kind of crazy things that didn't come out till afterwards. They didn't announce it before.
You can't even.
No.
But it's safe.
There's nothing in it. Little lab rats, and You know, if you drop dead, oh, well, who cares? They don't care. They don't care.
Well, we're seeing they don't care because, come on, these things are barely even. Look, if you wanna rush some kind of bogus bullshit vaccine for adults and people are stupid enough to take it, that's one thing. But when you try the same thing and you're using it on kids, now you cross the fucking line.
This didn't even affect the children.
Doesn't even affect. They gotta, right. If you do the studies and you read the math and the data and the real science, kids have a better chance of getting struck by a lightning bolt than they do getting COVID and dying from it. It's a fact. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's a mm-hmm. fact. So
no, we know.
We're going to cook up a vaccine so that you don't get struck by a lightning bolt. That's the equivalent, and you're going to sell that to people. Now, when you tell that to people, when I tell that to people, they say, what? That sounds really crazy. Yeah, it is. But that's what's going on. There's no danger. Look, there's a danger. It's minuscule. It's not even minimum. It's so minimum that it's minuscule, right? I just explained mm-hmm. it. And yet, they're going to line them up. And the president of the United States is standing there saying, we're ready. We're ready to go. Yeah. We're ready to go for the kids. These guys are sick people, man. It all comes down uh-huh. to they're sick people.
No, and they already know that they have enough. They have plenty of parents that will be on board with this. That's the scary part.
You wonder though, when the shit hits the fan, and it will the parents connect the dots, or will they think, oh no. My God, it's just so strange.
No, they won't. No, they won't.
Sick
no, man. Because a lot. No, because they've already changed the narrative, even with the adults, with the breakthrough or what have you, that it could have been worse. If you weren't vaccinated, it could have been worse.
That is true. You see these dopes, they say, well, my wife died. She got the vaccine.
But it could have been worse.
And she died, but it could have been worse. She could have suffered. She's dead. What are you talking about? She could have suffered. Her life is over. What right. do you mean? But the ending could have been, you know, she could have really suffered. And you see the people say, well, no. These vaccines weren't supposed to stop COVID. They're just supposed to make your decline more manageable, kind of like a morphine. It's like, what? What did mm-hmm. you say? I don't remember hearing that from anybody in D.C. I was told that these work.
No, and you know how, like when we're doing these shows, you know, they're not live, we're recording, and we just spitball a lot, and, you know, I threw out a lot of questions early on, like about the blood or the organs or what have you. There's another thing that I don't think anybody has done, which would be, okay, I'm considering the vaccine, call your health insurance company and ask them. You know, if I have any adverse reactions, what's covered, and blah, 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 blah. Call your life insurance. See, I would be curious